Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So it looks like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing that a new House committee going to oversee the coronavirus response. And I got to tell you, I think something has to be done. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how. Are we going to have more hearings? Are we going to do more of that, especially now? I don't know. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on it. This is a good idea, bad idea. I've asked our good friend, former Ohio Congressman Bob Ney, to come talk with us. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So I'm looking at this committee that they're, this oversight committee they're looking at setting up, and immediately I thought of you. Thoughts? Is this a good idea?
Buzzer? No. No. Not at all. Not at all. Do you remember Dan Burton?
Yes.
Okay. And I don't think I wrote about this. It didn't get put into my book, but I sat there and with Newt Gingrich and Dan Burton, and he actually cried when I cut his money off for his. Remember when he was looking at campaign finance with the Democrats?
And yes.
Finally, well, I'm the one that cut the money off in a meeting, and he cried, and then he pounded his fist and he said some things I can't say because I like to keep you on the air.
Thank you.
And the reason I mention this is not Dan Burton, but I mention it because, you know, everybody said, yeah, form that committee. Oh, the Democrats and their spending and the campaign finance. Yeah, oh, you know, this will really make it work. And it ended up, like a lot of these things do, into a nightmare. Now, Dan's not there anymore, so there's nobody in the Democratic side that could make it worse than Dan Burton. Okay, I don't want to make that clear. Here's my problem with it. They're going to form a committee. Right now, the American people are, you know, you and friends and your listeners are like, how are we going to make it through? When are we going to go back to work? How are we going to pay the bills? Are we going to die? Is the government doing enough? So those are concerns, legitimate out there, and people worried about their lives. And so if a full committee's formed and they fund it and they start to hire the staffers, which, by the way, could take a couple of months to do that, you know, at best, and then all of a sudden it gets out of control. People get cute. They do things that makes it look bad, both Republicans and Democrats, and they keep spinning wheels because it's a peacock farm, in a sense, when some of these committees are formed.
Right.
I think the idea of equal sharing of the power to do good things, not bad things out of the stimulus bill, is 100%. I think the Speaker Pelosi's idea to make sure that these monies are not corrupted is 100% a great idea. I think there's a different way to do it, and that would be to have a direct acceptance by the White House to have, first, staff level, because, you know, we've done this before, the certain assigned staffers, but also at the leaders' offices with X amount of leadership of the Democratic side, equal amount of the Republican, and the Senate side, too. And then there has to be an accountability. Now, if the White House doesn't agree to that, zip a bill through, put pressure on the Senate, zip a bill through that for the, you know, interests of everybody, we're going to have this, you know, this sort of entity formed. I just fear what you're going to have is the five-minute speeches and the Republicans versus the Democrats, and people just turn the thing off.
Yeah.
That's what I fear on this one. Now, if it was something else, I'd say, yeah. But right now, because of the nature of the emotional sensitivity to all of this, I think there's just a different way to skin the cat. That's
so
a good idea.
How would you go about it?
I would set up direct leadership involvement, not members of Congress, and you pick 20 on this side and 20 on that side. I would set up leaders, Democratic side, leaders, representatives, leaders being able to hear what's going on. They can inform that, you know, the caucus. They can inform the committees of jurisdiction, et cetera. Because then what's going to happen is the select committee will start to hear some things, and then somebody else is going to say, well, wait a minute. That's a Judiciary Committee item. We're going to have a hearing, too. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's the Commerce Committee. This involves jobs. We're going to have a hearing, too. And pretty soon you have hearing madness on this thing, and I think it's going to be all blocked out. So I would set up, make a clear guideline that the leaders of the two political parties have the right to have all knowledge, the right to all information, and the right to dispute it. I just don't think, and then they would send top staffers to, you know how this goes, to pick the low-hanging fruit. They agree on some things they don't, and if they don't, then they discharge to the Judiciary Committee, do a subpoena.
Yeah.
Do a subpoena. That's just great idea. I just think it's going to get lost.
Yeah, and look, we're heading towards the election, and with all of the chaos that's going on,
right?
Yeah, you know, it's going to get lost.
Yeah, lost. So that's my problem. Good idea, and I think that it's an idea that helps in a substantive way to make sure these monies aren't floated around and lost and corrupted, et cetera. I think do it a different way right now in this day and time in our history this year.
Yeah, has any money gotten out yet? I mean, I know Steve Mnuchin said that the money was going to get out immediately, and all I've seen is April 9th is the soonest I've seen anything possibly going out to people. That doesn't seem like immediately to me.
Well, they were talking about, in some cases, 5 months. I think what will happen is they'll start to spit checks out. I don't know on what basis. They'll start to spit some checks out. But I think there's going to be a lot of people that, with this much of a massive effort, are going to get delayed or not sent out, and you have to go on this portal. And when you go on these portals, like unemployment, I have a couple of relatives that have been desperately trying to get signed up for unemployment and literally just can't. Why? It's overloaded. So if you don't get your check and you start to go into a portal, guess what's going to happen? It's probably going to shut down
and
collapse.
Nobody gets anything, right?
Yeah, right. So I think some checks will get out, but I think it's not going to be like they're saying that it's instant and everybody's going to get one right away. I just can't imagine a government working that effectively.
Yeah, I mean, for all the people who have in the past, done the direct deposit and they already have your banking information,
right,
that's going to be a lot easier. Those are just,
right,
that's just, a computer code that, somebody can write into place and that can happen. But if you've actually got to, print out checks and put them in the mail and then have mail people deliver them, that's going to take a little time.
Well, and then let me throw this out here. If you right now need to reach Social Security, these federal workers are, overworked. I mean, I know nobody believes that, but they're, they're getting, 25 times the amount, right, of phone calls in. Right now, the offices are not open, so you have to call and you get these phone appointments and, set at a certain time. You got to mail your things in now, or you try to go online. And so right now, if you're going to have to dispute something or you got to get a hold of Social Security or IRS, I mean, probably good luck. There's just too much going on, too many people calling. So the efficiency of, if you all filed a tax return, you're going to get a check. I'm not sure that's going to happen in all cases.
No, you're right. I was having a conversation the other day with a small business owner who, I deal with quite frequently, and he was trying to go through the paperwork to be able to keep his employees on staff. And going through the Small Business Administration, to get the money to keep people on staff. And he was saying that, the form looks, fairly simple. We'll see how long it takes to actually be processed.
Right. And then I think they're going to have a lot of lessons learned on this, because people were talking about, let's have the fourth stimulus bill now, which I personally don't think is a good idea. And if I was in office saying this, I know I would be booed out of, out of the district, but they need to give a couple weeks breather to begin to see what is going on now or what works or doesn't work.
Yep. Now you got to deal with what the needs are now. And even
right,
if that is, loading up trucks and sending them to food banks so people can eat.
Correct.
Now. Because, at the end of the day, we for months we were talking about the study that was done last year that said that, 40% of the people can't come up with with
$400,
$400 or $500. 60% of people can't come up with $1,000. Those are the folks who are hurting now. These aren't the people who are renting vacation spots up in the Hamptons or sailing off the shore on a yacht. These are people who go to work and are just trying to keep their head above water.
Well, yes, there was an article today, about just what you just mentioned about the wealthy and what they're doing and going to retreats. And in fact, in some cases, in I think it was Nantucket or some area, the wealthy were causing a problem because there's only 25 hospital beds, you know, so people, you know, start going and getting sick, there's a problem. But, and the article was called "The Rich Pull Up the Drawbridges." Now, you know, it's a free country, and if you have a boat and you want to sail around, fine. But the problem is that, you know, the actual, you know, general population, John and Susie Smith, are having, you know, a difficult time right now. So I think we've got to be more sensitive that people with money have resources to be able to do certain things. People that are on the edge and barely can come up with $400 in an emergency really don't have resources. They can't really buy that much food in some cases, or to, you know, buy a whole cow and put it into a freezer. You know, they don't have the money. So there's a lot of factors out there that they've got to think about, the average people.
Yeah, but, you know, as I said at the beginning of the show, I'm hoping at this point, you know, we're now magnifying the massive inequality that's been, you know, been building for the last 40 years, and maybe we'll wake up to the reality that some things have to change.
Well, this is really interesting. When you look at this, Andrew Yang, who was laughed off the stage by many people, in, you know, Republicans obviously included, Andrew Yang's, what was his idea, $1,200?
His freedom dividend is $1,000 a month.
Right. Well, all of a sudden, that's not that bad. All of a sudden, health care for all, you know, if you have the coronavirus, you don't pay your copays. You don't pay for the health care. I mean, there's a lot of ideas that about a month and a half ago were you know, people were down on them. The government doesn't need to do certain things. Well, the government needs to do $2 trillion now. So, yes, the whole attitude changed. And, you know, the CEOs, out of the goodness of their heart, Rick, are not just saying, hey, I'm going to forgo this and forgo that. They know they're on a tightrope. They can't sit there and collect everything when people, you know, are laid off.
Yeah. Although, you know, I look at Hobby Lobby, who they just, you know, laid off 43,000 people.
Yeah, by email.
Yeah, by email.
Got rid of them.
And you go, but aren't you the good God-fearing Christian people?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what Jesus would do?
Right. That has left such a bitter taste, because there are other companies where, at least, and don't get me wrong, I give the CEO credit. They're not doing it because they want to. They're doing it because culturally now everything changed in a month and a half of attitudes. But they are doing it in some cases, you know, or foregoing salaries or whatever. But, yeah, Hobby Lobby, they just said, okay, we're just going to sit with what we have and y'all goodbye.
Yeah. And I guess this is, like as I said before, this is one of those moments where I'm hoping working people realize that loyalty only goes one way in this equation.
Correct. And you and I talked the other night. There's an increased interest in safety, and an increased interest in having somebody get in there and fight for you, which is what a union does.
And as we've talked about, I'm hoping that, you know, that changes on the other side of this as well. I mean, because at some point, you know, we've got to push back against what we're seeing happen right before us. It just, to me, it's that simple.
Right.
And that's scary. Let's move along. Evidently, the DNC, they've decided they're going to move their convention August, I guess, end of August?
Well, they kind of didn't decide. It was kind of decided for them. But, yes, they made a formal decision after Joe Biden.
After Joe Biden, not quite sure why that happens, but you know they've moved it off as we were saying, and it just went away. I'm not sure why that happens with Bob. That's the second time that has happened, that he's just gone away for some reason. We'll have to look into that. But yeah, the DNC's moved their convention, and it's going to be sometime, I guess, the end of August. Still going to be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which. I was hoping to get to. I'm not quite sure I'm going to go this time around, but it's not like they had a choice. It's really not. And I fully expect at some point that it may even be a virtual. It may be a virtual kind of thing. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway, we lost Bob, but I was going to let him go here in a second anyway. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around and listen to the Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.